You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Sudden grace, electrical banana, it's bound to be the very next phase. They call it mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow, quite rightly. They call me mellow yellow.
Right. Well, are we entering into the very next phase of the culture war? Quite rightly.
That's it.
We'll find out.
As Donovan said.
I'm really excited about the guests we've had tonight. Again, folks, we are tackling the report that Roe versus Wade is to be imminently overturned by the existing Supreme Court. And we're tackling it this from three different angles, the legal, the moral, and the sexual. Tackling the legal was Sam Dixon in the first hour, Brad Griffin in the second hour, and now to tackle it from the sexual perspective is our
sex expert extraordinaire, F. Roger Devlin.
Dr. Devlin, Roger Devlin, he is a contributing editor to the Occidental Quarterly and author of the groundbreaking book, Keith, Sexual Utopia and Power, The Feminist Revolt Against Civilization. Roger, I am so pleased we're able to close tonight's program with you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I tell you, James, people who've known me all my life, people who knew me when I was young, would not know what to say to hear me being introduced as an expert on sex. But thank you very much. Thank you very much. I do enjoy talking.
Like the used car place where Keith goes to, we give credit when it's due, right, Keith?
Right, yeah, okay. We give credit where credit is due.
Right. Well, regarding the issue of abortion, I'd like to say a little bit about the kind of women who make up the core, what you might call the hard core of the pro-abortion movement, the ones with the...
And the clientele.
The funny colored hair and who march in the slut marches and the keep abortion legal marches and who are very loud, and generally they're the kind of
who has sex
women.
With them.
Well, yeah, they're not the kind of women you would want to see your son get involved with, are they? You know, but what's going on?
What you'd want to get involved with.
Or anyone, I guess. Yeah, everybody's joking about the sex strike. The feminists are going to respond to the Supreme Court with a sex strike, and everybody's joking that nobody's noticed anything different. Even the Babylon Bee's getting in on it. But anyway, as I have said many times, when monogamy breaks down, you don't get promiscuity in the literal sense. You don't get random mating, and you don't get more sex for the average man. What you get is Darwinian mating. What you get is women competing to mate with the most attractive men, the highest status or the richest or the best looking or the famous. And this is, of course, a pretty small number of men. And these are the kind of women who I think are you know, you'll find behind the pro-abortion movement. They're women who somebody online recently put it just wonderfully that abortion is the cause of alpha males and beta females. These women want to mate with men who are kind of out of their league. I mean, that they would never be able to get to marry them. Unusually attractive men. but they can't realistically hope to keep one of these guys around for very long. So that's why they need abortion. They need abortion to now I'm not talking about people, I'm not talking about what they call the hard cases, the cases of rape and incest, but that's not what most abortion is, as you know. I'm talking about the hardcore of the pro-abortion movement, the ones who you know scream like banshees to keep abortion legal and that sort of thing. These are just women who are looking for freedom without responsibility. See, they can actually do that. A guy can't actually decide that he's going to go out and sleep with 10 different women just because he wants to. But even an average-looking woman can get sexual favors from a high-status man. So, you know, thanks to the influence
but not
of
marriage.
Cosmo. And you know, you got women wasting their fertile years living this Sex and the City lifestyle. And they need abortion because they, you know, to get around the consequences of their own poor choices.
All right, Keith, let me ask you this. Keith, when we were talking about this earlier this week, and we were talking about the different angles at which we could attack this from, and we just mentioned them. We've mentioned them several times tonight, legal, moral, and sexual. Why was Roger Devlin a must-have?
Because he has written the groundbreaking insight, which was that men don't do the choosing when it comes to sexual pairings. That's what men were led to believe would be the result of the sexual revolution. Every 12-year-old boy dreamt of being Hugh Hefner and having his own miniature version of the Playboy Mansion. But instead, it gave enormous power to women. But women, you know, they're not naturally monogamous either. Men are naturally polygamous. Women are naturally hypergamous. They may just want to mate with one at a time, but that person is liable to change on a weekly basis, right, Roger?
Not quite weekly, but there does seem to be something like a four-year cycle. A four-year cycle, which is how long it takes to, you know, conceive a baby and raise it up to where you don't have to be looking after it constantly. So, they may not like one-night stands, but four-year stands, it seems to be about the way they're built by nature.
Now, Keith, let me ask you this one more thing. I'm going to interview Keith about Roger, I guess is what's happening here. But very quickly, how can the application of Roger's book, Sexual Utopia and Power, be applied to this issue of Roe versus Wade being overturned, in your opinion?
Well, it's going to change the sexual dynamic, the power politics between male and female in some way, probably. And I wanted to get Roger's opinion about what the likely change is going to be. First of all, we realize in practical terms, half of the nation is not going to be affected. There is still going to be abortion on demand in the blue states of America. Red states, there won't be. But in those red states, what will be the change? What do you predict?
Well, I have to say I agree with what Brad Griffin was saying earlier. I don't see like a really radical change happening suddenly. They say that politics is downstream from culture, and so there's not going to be a change in American culture thanks to a change in the law. But anything.
Hold on, right there, Roger.
Okay, go ahead.
Hold on right there. I apologize, my friend, but we got to take a hard break. We'll be right back with Roger Devlin. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to T-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back now with Dr. F. Roger Devlin, who is the author, of course, of Sexual Utopia and Power, The Feminist Revolt Against Civilization. Well, I guess, Roger, perhaps they've been knocked in the nose just a little bit, but to your point in the last segment,
finish that thought you had.
Yeah, finish that thought, and then I'll tell you how it breaks down on state lines. I've got the data.
Well,
right,
and anything that moves us back in the direction of traditional marriage will actually benefit men, because men, as Keith was talking about, men are in the weak position. When it comes to sex, men are the weaker sex. We got bazillions of sperm we're trying to get rid of, and a woman only has 400 eggs in a lifetime, and so that's why they are in charge of sex, and why it's so devastating for men if women simply obey their Darwinian urges and limit their mate seeking to a few men at the top of the pile. Marriage exists not to restrict the amount of sex men get, but to make sex available to the maximum number of men. Anything
a
that works
for every
in the
pot.
Direction of exactly. So as many men as possible can have a family, can become dad, and you know it's the best way of dealing with the problem of the strength and unruliness of young men's sexual urges. The best way to handle it is to marry off as many of them as possible, and make dads of them. Where that's not done, you know, in polygamous societies, you got guys forming bands, forming criminal bands. It's terrible. So we don't want that to happen in the West.
All right, Roger, let me ask you this. So I don't want to say it was a split decision necessarily between Sam and Brad and even those of us here on the hosting staff tonight, but there was a variety of takes on the overall application of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. In your opinion, not so much looking at it from how it benefits men, although I know that's your bailiwick, but, you know, abortion to me has not been that big of an issue. I don't know if we've ever covered it before. And as I said, we are covering it extensively tonight because it is the biggest news story right now. I don't think we've covered it much, if any. It's certainly not to this extent where we're dedicating a whole show to it. But we are covering it in an exhaustive way tonight, and then we'll follow up in June if this comes down and make mention of it then. But for a lot of reasons, because this program typically looks at things from the lens of race. And so with that being in our minds right now, not talking so much about how this impacts relationship dynamics between men and women, is this a good thing, the repealing of Roe versus Wade? In your opinion, Roger, would it be a good thing for our race?
Oh, that's hard to say. There certainly are more blacks having abortions now than whites, and that's understandable because they tend to be less forward-looking than whites. I mean, it'll help us directly. Anything that helps white people achieve stable marriages and stable family life is going to help us. But it could be that it'll help other races even more who need that kind of stability even more than we do. So, you know, from the point of view of racial competition, I don't know if it's such a big thing for whites as opposed, you know, it's Greg Johnson at Countercurrents made this point recently. You know, it may from a competitive racial point of view, it may not be good for whites. But in an absolute sense, it will be good for whites, as anything would be that enables us to have a more stable family structure.
Okay, Roger, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You have people, poor people, and a lot of black people are poor people, who have had the financial disincentives for promiscuity removed by the welfare system.
Yes.
It used to be that you had to reckon with the fact that you're going to have to support this child for at least 18 years once it was born, and that kind of put the brakes on unfettered sybarite-style sexual conduct. But now you have people, poor people, black people, white people, whatever, who have children out of wedlock for the specific purpose of getting financial gain. Now they can stay at home and get a government check, and if you have more children, you get more checks.
Any change to Roe v. Wade is not really going to affect that, is it?
No. So basically, we'll have more children and a much larger welfare bill, basically. That's one thing that could result from.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, as I was saying previously, could this be much ado about nothing? Because, again, it kicks it back to the state. In the southern state. Well, this is actually what I was going to make a point about. So I was looking at how this impacts the states under existing state law. And it basically ends up, Roger and Keith and everyone listening, into a 33%, 33%, and 33% split. Roughly, very roughly, but nearly that. 33% of the states have codified Roe versus Wade. So in those states, they will not be affected at all by this
change,
reported overturning. That's, of course, your coastal states, east and west, plus states like Illinois and Colorado and New Mexico, for example. And then there are about 33% of the states which will basically have banned abortion. That's most of the old Confederacy, plus a few Mountain West states like Utah and Idaho and the Dakotas, a little bit surprisingly, but the Dakotas are in there. And then there's 33% of the states that don't have laws that either codify Roe or ban abortion. And that's a mixed bag. That's a grab bag. And that includes states like South Carolina that I think would certainly pass a law banning abortion after this mandate is handed down from the Supreme Court. So it's interesting to me that it is that split. But ultimately, is it much ado about nothing? In the states that are blue, you'll have abortion. In the states that are red, you won't. But you can still get, as I mentioned in the last segment, the morning after pill. So unless you're completely brain dead, if you're worried about there being a pregnancy, you can go. You can get this at any pharmacy, over the counter, without a prescription, morning after pill, and you take it, and you don't even have to worry about
it. And will it be, in other words, when all is said and done, more will be said than done?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's the question. I mean, Roger, is this something that I think, to me, the best case scenario in all of this, again, is it good for our people? Is it good for our race?
Yeah.
How do we benefit from this?
Tell us how it's good and how it's bad.
Of the moral ramifications, I think the
I'd
way
say
it's good.
More
the best
good
case,
than bad.
The best case scenario is.
Go,
I'll give you the
Tell
last word, but my thing is, if it can hasten a separation or a balkanization or a collapse of the current system, it's good. Can it do that? Why do you think it's good overall?
Well, I don't know. I doubt. I don't see it really aiding balkanization. I think it's going to be good for white families, and I don't actually, you know, although races are in competition, I don't necessarily have anything against it doing good for black families and other families either. So I think it's something to be celebrated. It's not going to solve the racial problem. It's not even going to solve the abortion problem, as you pointed out. It's, you know, people still more or less, the different regions are about where they were, I think, back in 73 on this question. But anything that moves us back in the direction of traditional courtship and marriage is certainly good for our people and should be celebrated.
Well, thank you so much, Roger, for your contribution to the program. I was just looking back in our broadcast archives as you spoke, and going back to 2009, Roger has appeared on this program 16 times. This is now his 17th appearance and counting, and we look forward to the next one already. Not nearly enough, Roger, not nearly enough.
Okay. Well, with the passing of Hugh Hefner, now Roger is America's resident expert on sex.
That's absolutely right. And what are you working on right now, Roger? What
completed a big, long review of a new book called War on the West by Douglas Murray, which will be appearing on American Renaissance, I hope, within a week. I hope maybe next Friday. And, that's it for the moment.
You can always read Roger at AmRen. He's regularly featured there, also at The Occidental Quarterly, and of course, a regular guest here going back now quite a long time. Quite a long time indeed. Roger, looking forward to the next time, my friend, as always. Thank you for all you do for our people, and I'll see you soon, and I look forward to that. And with that, Roger Devlin, we'll let you enjoy the rest of your evening. Keith and I'll be back to wrap up the show in the next second.
Roger, keep it cool up there in the Playboy Mansion.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Ukrainian forces are still holding on as the Russian invasion continues into its 11th week. Cruise missiles were fired at Odessa and bombarded a steel plant in Mariupol, where civilians and Ukrainian fighters are believed to be housed. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is urging residents to heed the air raid sirens. That's because he is expecting Russian attacks to intensify as V-Day draws near. First Lady Jill Biden is in Romania as part of a four-day trip to Eastern Europe. She met with Ukrainian refugee students and their mothers at a school in Bucharest. Biden says she remains concerned about the next phase of the humanitarian crisis that keeps going on and on. Nearly 6 million Ukrainians have fled the country since the war began. Wall Street continuing its losing ways at the end of the week, with the Dow and S&P 500 losing a fraction of a percent. The NASDAQ lost 1.5%. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, folks. This is Wayne Allyn-Root. I know you've heard me talk about the Liberty Projects and their wonderful website, vetsandhorses.com, for quite a while now. They're headquartered at Shiloh Ranch in Southern Nevada. Shiloh Ranch was the late actor Tony Curtis's horse rescue ranch. The Liberty Projects purchased the property and has repurposed it for multiple military vet programs, including rescuing and training wild Mustangs. The program is so successful, they're turning away vets who need help, and we can't let that happen. Please help support the Liberty Projects by playing in their annual golf tournament June 10th at Revere Golf Club in Henderson, Nevada. Register at vetsandhorses.com. 100% of all proceeds are used for the program to help vets and horses. 100%. Government does very little for our vets. It's up to us, freedom-loving patriots, to make it happen. Help support this great organization and enjoy a great day of golf. Register today at vetsandhorses.com. That's vetsandhorses.com. June 10th at Revere Golf Club in Henderson, Nevada. Register at vetsandhorses.com.
Out west in New Mexico, hundreds of firefighters and a fleet of planes are working to encircle the largest fire burning in the country as potentially historic weather conditions were in the forecast. Thousands of residents have evacuated due to flames that have scorched large swaths of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. More than 262 square miles have been blackened over the last few weeks. The start has been traced to a preventative fire initiated by the Forest Service to reduce flammable vegetation. A New York court has halted the use of familial DNA searching. It's where law enforcement agencies search the state's DNA data bank for close biological relatives of people who have left traces of genetic material at crime scenes. The court ruled Thursday that regulations for the technique were invalid because the legislature did not consent to them. The searches were challenged by a group of black men who worried about being targeted for investigation because their biological brothers were convicted of crimes and had genetic information in the state's data bank. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
With the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
We've a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. You'll see that life is a ball again. Laughter is calling for you. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous.
Three's company too.
Well, it's been Three's Company tonight. But not a crowd, Keith. That's the thing with Sam, Brad, and Roger. That's Three's Company we enjoy keeping in, do we not?
Oh, yeah. We've always got a stable of top-notch guests, and we're getting a bigger stable all the time.
But we can't get John Ritter.
No, I'm afraid. Hadn't he passed on? Or
Wait, quite a long time ago, in fact. But way too early. If we connect with him,
I'm leaving.
Yeah, I think he had just an unexpected heart attack. But you big Three's Company fan, Suzanne Summers?
Yeah, I liked it. Which configuration did you like, with Norman Fell or with Don Knotts?
Don Knotts.
Yeah, Don Knotts.
That's what I remember. In fact, when I think back on, even though it was before my time, but I watched it on Nick at Night. But yeah, Don Knotts was the one I remember.
Don Knotts in those triple knit leisure suits and stuff. You just couldn't beat that, man.
John Ritter always just seemed like a nice guy. I don't know. I related to that.
See, Don Knotts was the alpha male wannabe.
All right. Well, of course, tonight, as I said with Roger, I don't know if we've ever really tackled the issue of pro-life. A lot of the pro-life advocates make me sick, quite frankly. I mean, they're not with us on race. They're not with us on white genocide. It's overwhelmingly white people, white Christians, who are in the establishment pro-life cause.
And they're the people that are, their response to this is, it's wonderful, but you don't worry, nothing else is going to change.
Well, and this is the thing, too. This is how Alito basically defended the whole argument, is that it adversely affects blacks. And this is what the churches are going to do. The churches won't fight for anything. I mean, they'll go to the zoo.
Southern Baptists will let us down once again, just like they did on the Jewish dispensationalist question. On this, they're not willing to attack affirmative action. They're not willing to attack Brown versus Board of Education. They're not willing to attack any of these other landmark civil rights cases, which Roe versus Wade.
Well, now that was the thing.
Civil rights too.
That was actually it was AOC mentioned it, but it was also a headline.
Well, that's what they're saying. The alarmists on the left, but the establishment on the right says, "Oh no! This is the one thing that will change, and nothing else, everything else will remain the same."
Well, this was a headline in The Atlantic, and it reads, the headline is, Alito's plan to repeal the 20th century, and the next line
only
reads,
right.
If conservative justices' draft opinion is adopted by the court, key advances of the past 100 years could be rolled back. To that, I say, I wish they would all be rolled back,
please.
But I don't think so. I am surprised that the conservatives had enough balls to even go after this, but they certainly won't have enough balls to go after anything that matters more. And to me, if I had five Supreme Court rulings that I could repeal, maybe this is number five. It certainly isn't in the top four.
Well, affirmative action is the main thing that is keeping the white Gentiles down in America. They have basically put us at the bottom of the totem pole now. Other groups are being invented so they can take rungs higher than us on the totem pole. You know, we're going to have a lot of children and no way to make the money to support them if we don't do something about affirmative action.
Now, there is a... Look, I examined this issue, which has not been a big issue in the 18 years we've been on the air. We've certainly never, if we've covered it at all, we've certainly never covered it for the full 3 hours. And we cover it for the full 3 hours because it is the biggest political story and the cultural story in the world this week. So we're going to do a deep dive, and we've done that, and we'll move on, and we'll see what happens with this. But is it good for our people? Is it good for our people? That's the question. And looking at this from the perspective of white genocide, looking at this from
white displacement,
war against morality. What is the Jewish angle In abortion,
anything that weakens white Gentiles is a plus in their mind.
Okay, but I don't know if this weakens us or helps us to have this pass. I really don't. And that's the thing. I told Sam when I was on the phone with him before the show, I said, Sam, I'm of two minds on this. I do believe it's murder. Look, you look at these ultrasounds. If you're doing this for a lifestyle reason, if it's not rape, if it's not incest, if it's not life of the mother, if it's not some sort of a deformity, if you're just aborting a healthy white baby because you want to continue to slut around or because it'll impact your career, that's murder. It is, and it just is, and that's all there is to it. But, I could buy into the argument that this should be outlawed it flat out. However,
what happens, though, here's what the real question is. What happens to that great group of fundamentalist white conservatives now that they have triumphed in abortion? Are they going to basically retire from the culture war? They're not going to push for the repeal of affirmative action or anything else? If they do, well, that's a bad result. We need to get these people energized. Of course, the left's hysterical reaction to this, a typical leftist overreaction, is a good thing because that keeps them still in the game. But we've got to basically spread their consciousness beyond the abortion issue to all the other issues that affect the quality of life of white Gentiles in America.
All right. So as I said before, also, I do have great joy in seeing the left so upset, but it doesn't bring me any pleasure to see the religious right or the Christian Incorporated act as though they've done anything to change.
Well, what they're
going
to do is they're going to fold their tents and they're going to go home.
You know, the only reason that this is done, that this has been done now, the establishment church, which I despise the establishment church as a Christian, I despise
the establishment. That's because they made you an enemy.
Well, that's one reason. Yeah, maybe it's personal. But there's a lot more reasons than that. I mean, of course, their attack on our flag, their attack on our ancestors. I mean, they're just disgusting. I actually have more disdain for them than any black or Jew I've ever met. That's a fact. But so I hate to see them act as though they have impacted some sort of a decision here, because the establishment church, your Russell Moores, your J.D. Greers, they were so vehemently opposed to Donald Trump. And let's make no mistake about it, for better or for worse, this doesn't happen if Donald Trump didn't win the election, because he put those three justices on there that swung this thing, and the establishment church, to a man at the head table, they opposed Donald Trump all the way through the primary season and many through the general election, in fact. And this doesn't happen without Donald Trump. So I don't look, I love to see the left miserable, but I don't like to see the establishment right, the conservative incorporated, certainly the establishment church, this group of apostates, I don't like to see them feel as though they've done anything, because they haven't. They have been part and parcel, an ally with those who hate Christ and who hate our people.
Well, just listen to their sermons. They are basically on the same page with the cultural left on everything except abortion. Now, are they going to fold their tent and say, we've won the war now, let's all go home? And meanwhile, the left continues to transform America in ways that basically flaunt God's word and the, for example, homosexual rights. Homosexual rights, well, they really don't want to get involved in that. Do they want to get involved in gay marriage? No. Do they want to get involved with transgenderism? They'd rather not. The only thing that they really were zealous about getting involved in is abortion. Now that they have so-called won the abortion through, and again, we don't know what's going to happen. Something could happen. One of the five could be assassinated. I think that's one of the reasons.
That was actually one of the things I wanted to talk a little bit more with Sam Dixon about, and we talked about it just for the last waning minutes of his final segment. This whole thing with the leak, and I don't think we paid enough attention to that. So this was something that when you had whistleblowers like Snowden and Assange that were doing things that were harmful to the left, they were all for prosecuting them and destroying them and
executing them or whatever.
Right, pulling them out of wherever they were hiding or had a safe harbor at. And then now you've got this person, and you see Democratic members of Congress and, of course, the media saying he or she, whoever this leak is, has to be protected. They're just doing what's right and what's noble.
And on the other hand, the people that say, that have the most anti-leaker position say he or she should be disbarred, assuming that they're a lawyer. We don't know who did it. It could have been Sonia Sotomayor herself,
who's
a member of the Supreme Court. And if it is, what are they going to muster up the courage to do about that?
This is the thing I don't understand. Why do we have to wait until June every year for the Supreme Court to come on down from high and issue its decrees? Why can't they just go ahead and do it?
It's like that song from Fiddler on the Roof, tradition. You know?
But I'm just saying, if you give them another month to have the political pressure, the bribes, the death threats thrust upon them, any one of them could turn. And I don't know, and I say again, I don't know if that's a bad thing. I have two minds on this issue all the way. I really don't care.
I don't know how strong they are, really. And, I guess we'll see if there is a real threat of, danger. We're going to see, separate the sheep from the goats, I guess.
5-4 is a razor-thin majority. Yeah. We'll be back. One more segment on this, then we'll move on to other things this coming week.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
One bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right, I found in my mother's eyes. That road all paved with gold, I found in my mother's eye.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I think a fine way to wrap up this show on Roe versus Wade. That is My Mother's Eyes by the undisputed greatest entertainer, no, not just doo-wop, but of any sort, any genre, in the history of the world, Frankie Valli.
Caruso, Luciano Pravo, Pravarotti, move aside.
Tomorrow is Mother's Day. I think we should
And I think it is really important that this is linked with that. Mother's Day and the repeal of Roe versus Wade.
Tomorrow is Mother's Day. I think we would certainly be remiss if we did not make mention of that fact on this night, this only night that we'll be focusing so much attention on Roe versus Wade. Should be a lot more mothers coming up if this is, in fact, what happens. But we don't know for sure if this is going to happen yet. It has been confirmed that the leak is authentic. But this hasn't been what, as you said, well, as Stevie Wonder said, it hasn't been signed, still delivered yet, has it, Keith?
Well, it's like they say, the opera ain't open over until the fat lady sings. And the fat lady sings when the opinion is written, signed off on by at least five yes votes, bound and entered into the official record of the court. So a lot can happen. What they say, there's many a slip between the spoon and the lip. So we've got to sit here and wait, but, you know, what will happen as a result of this? It's going to be interesting. I do know that it will unhinge the left. What will that be? Will that have a bad effect on Republican prospects in the midterms, or will it basically prove once and for all the fecklessness of this new woke liberalism that has come to define the Democratic Party?
I'd like to think it's the latter, but as we've said, we'll find out, I guess. This is, well, as one of our friends is writing right now, they're going to move it to the states. The rest of the agenda moves along unimpeded. It is the rest of the agenda that, frankly, I'm more concerned about right now, at least.
And what I'm worried about, as much as I'm worried about the left's reaction, is the reaction of the conservative right. Are they going to say, we've won the war, fold your tents, everybody go home, you know, this is it, you'll get a pension check in the mail for engaging in the culture war, but now it's all over. Everything else that the left wanted to do, we're A-okay with. That is the worst possible result that could come from this, is that the impetus and the momentum that we've obtained from this gets dissipated, and nothing else is done on the vast array of issues that are bedeviling white Gentiles in America today.
All right, you're on to something there, Keith, because, yes, you see now that conservatives, for lack of a better term, are surging in terms of their political power. The left is, at least for the moment, waning. This may revitalize them. But do we want all of that energy that we have to be put into this? And if it is, it could very well be overturned in another 4 years, 8 years on the outside, when the Democrats could potentially retake the Senate and the House based upon the ongoing, and this will do nothing to abate, the ongoing demographic shift here in this country. And if that's the case, then it's a pyrrhic victory, and it's going to be a short-lived victory, and it'll eventually be overturned.
It'll be the beginning of the end, actually.
And if the Democrats get control, they'll do all of the worst nightmare things they've said. They'll get rid of the filibuster. They'll bring in Puerto Rico. They'll bring in D.C. They'll get four more senators, and that's all she wrote, and nothing will stop them. And that you know, it's on a razor-thin margin that whole thing hangs right now.
Well, think about this. You've gone to your church, which professes to be a Bible-believing church. You've heard sermons about abortion. Have you heard any sermons against gay marriage? Have you heard any sermons against transgenderism?
You still get that in the fundamental
research. Occasionally, but not nearly as much as you used to.
Depending on how small the church is. The smaller the church, the more you get. Yeah.
Right. But see, you know, are you going to find anybody preaching against affirmative action?
No.
See what I mean? This is, you know, if that's going to basically cause a division in our ranks, then this is not a good thing. We've got to keep pressing. We've got to try to bring America back to principles. And if anything, you know, all the legal arguments against Roe versus Wade, that it was a constitutional right created out of nowhere, applies equally to the Brown versus Board of Education decision, the Swan versus Mecklenburg decision, the Griggs versus Duke Power Company decision, the New Kent County decision, all of these decisions regarding integration, regarding affirmative action, things like this, those things are still there. And if we don't change those, we're going to go from the first to the last. We will be the low man and woman on the totem pole. For in American society, everybody will get preference for jobs, for admission to selective colleges, universities, and professional schools over your children. And you are being made into the new serfs of America, and America's churches sit idly by, the people that supposedly represent these people and speak for these people, and they're going to be okay with all that.
You know what's so funny about it is, it just like everything, every issue out there, it all comes down to race at the end of it all. You boil it down to where there's nothing more than the base, and it's race, because white Christians are the ones that have driven this thing. White Christians elected Donald Trump, and it's because of Donald Trump that we have this court that is apparently ready to give back to its base this ruling. But it was white people who did it. And when white people are no longer the majority, abortion will no longer be protected, and no longer will a lot of other things. It all comes down to race. And unless Christians and unless the churches understand that whites matter, that race matters, they'll lose everything every time like they always have.
Can you imagine a black church that will not stand up and show solidarity with their black members? But can you think of a white church doing the same thing? I mean, they would run from it like it was a typhoid or the plague. See, this is what we need to worry about. We need to worry about what happens in the future. The biggest threat is third world immigration. What church have you heard speak out against third world immigration? The silence is deafening from fundamentalist churches, and then Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, groups like this are actually on the side of unfettered third world immigration.
I disagree with you on a little bit of that. And the only reason I disagree with you is that what do we determine that the church is? Is the church the leadership or the people in the pews? The people in the pews, Southern Baptists, overwhelmingly against immigration. But the leadership, of course, is totally in the tank for it.
Well, they don't interview the people in the pews. What they do is interview the top guy.
But that's fine. By interview standards, yes, you're right. But by voting power, white Southern Baptists are still voting for people who they think will curtail immigration.
The white Southern Baptist preachers are telling people how they need to get on board the love train.
Small congregations, but in the big ones,
Well, look. Bellevue Baptist in Memphis, for example.
Bellevue's bigger than 20 small churches, but there are more small churches than there are mega churches.
I think it used to be, at least, and I think it still is, the biggest Southern Baptist convention church, freestanding church, in the whole system. And, I mean, you can't, you listen to what their preachers say on issues like immigration, and you can't find any difference than you can from some radical preacher in the Roman Catholic Church.
But that's right. But most Southern Baptist churches run 100 members or less on Sunday morning. So I mean, the rural church is still the majority.
Well, see, they can't win. They came close, but they can't win on putting a conservative as the pope of the Southern Baptist Church.
But why that is because these poor working class people in the rural congregations can't afford to take a week off to travel to God knows where to attend the Southern Baptist Convention annual gathering.
Like you and your preacher did. They kick you out of the church, and they kick your pastor's church out of the church.
Well, we never did go up to that convention, but, you know.
That's because you weren't going to be allowed to speak. You were just going to sit out there in the ante room and wait for the axe to fall.
We had a plan for that, actually. We had a plan for that, but I tell you what, we could have made a stink of it, and you better believe we would have gotten coverage, but in any event, the people in the pews are with us, but they don't matter. The working class, the populace don't matter. It's always top down.
Well, see, that's what Ron DeSantis has proven in Florida. When you can match popular sentiment, the way the people feel, like the people in the pews, with institutional power, like the government power of DeSantis's government against Disney, for example, you can get things done. But if you don't link those two, then nothing happens on your side of the fence. And we've got to make sure that our churches stand up for the Bible as written, and they just can't make peace with the devil, and they want to make peace with the devil.
All right, that said, this has been a full 3 hours show on an issue that I'm not sure if we've ever covered before. I want to wish all of the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. I have come to a conclusion, Keith, that none of us would be here if our mothers had decided to abort
us. And I've got a song to sing to end the show.
All right. I'm ready.
M is for the many things she gave me. O is that she's only growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart as pure as gold. E is that she's ever thinking of me. R, she's right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, the word that means the most to me.
Folks, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Buy tickets to Keith's tour. He's on tour and concert coming up. For Sam Dixon and Brad Griffin and Roger Devlin, I'm James Edwards. We'll move back to the standard fare next week, I promise. But, hey, interesting things. You never know what's going to happen week to week. The last couple of years have taught us that. Good night, everybody. Godspeed. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. We'll talk to you next week.